There's an old Bon joke. There's another easy target out there. I'm going to talk about mother-in-laws. Yeah, two guys meet up on the golf course. And one guy looks at the other and he says, "I just came back from a pleasure trip." The other guy says, "How's that?" He said, "I took my mother-in-law to the bus station." You've heard about Indian gurus, right? You know, guys who have just something profound to say about everything. They're just like a mother-in-law, only with a beard. Two husbands are on the playground. They're watching their kids. And he said, "You know, my mother-in-law speaks 140 words a minute with gusts up to 180. I'm going to get in trouble, aren't I?" Yeah. By the way, I'm just really, you guys didn't know, I'm recovering from a really, really bad fall. I am. Yeah. My mother-in-law stayed with us in October and November last year. I knew my mother-in-law wasn't really crazy about me when they brought our wedding cake in. She bit the head off the groom. I'm just kidding. You know that, don't you? I honest to goodness, I had the best mother-in-law a man could ever have. The sweetest, kindest, gentlest, hardest working mom I've ever known. Raised five girls on a farm. Can you imagine? He had a farm. He married Frida and had five girls. just kind of the way it is. You know, I even miss my own mom terribly. I loved her dearly. And, you know, honestly, she drove me crazy at times. But I loved her dearly. Moms have this gift of really loving us even when we're at our worst. They really do. They will love us when we're at our worst. I celebrate mothers just in the most appreciative way that can be appreciated. I love moms. They're wonderful. And here's the thing I'll say about it. Sooner or later, we all quote our mothers. We do. Eleanor Roosevelt had this to say about moms. She said, "A mom is like a tea bag. You can't tell how strong she is until you put her in hot water." And then Susan Gale said this, "Mothers are like glue. Even when you can't see them, they're still holding the family together." They're just like glue, and it's true. If you've ever been around a mom who's had a family and there's issues, is there ever any issue in your family? You need a mom. You need a mom. Happy, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name, and I praise you. And I really believe this, Lord, that when you took that rib from Adam, you took some of the very best there is and put it in Eve, the mother of all mankind. We honor your great gift to us today, mothers, Lord. They are wonderful. And I say thank you, Father, for your great gift. And now we turn our hearts and our eyes towards you, Lord Jesus, towards you, Holy Spirit, seeking a word from you for each one of us. And I believe this in my heart, that a word for each one of us will be a different word, something special just for each one of us. And I ask you'd be strong here today and speak to hearts, open our hearts, and anointing each one of us so we can hear what you're saying, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts, I pray today, that we might hear and see. I also ask that you would speak what's on your heart, Lord God. Say to us what you want as a word for us as we go this week and as we go this day, that we wouldn't walk on our own, but we'd walk under you, walk under your anointing, walk under what you want said and done with our lives this week. Because it is your presence that makes the difference. We're just like everybody else, Father, only we have you. And I thank you that you've come. And I ask, Father, that I would be an open conduit today, that I could be a vessel of use that you might speak through, that your words might go. I don't have to hear what I say. They need to hear, Father, what you say. Hear your words, what's going on in your kingdom. That it would come today, be present in this very building, Lord God, and touch each one of us. A mighty manifestation of Holy Spirit upon each one of us, Lord. No evil present. Father, it seems to me the enemy took a shot at us today. We got electrical problems. We got all kinds of issues going on inside this building. And I just believe, Lord, you kept us even in that and made a way for us because you're so good. Your good word, your good spirit, I ask for it to come and be present here. We give you all the glory and all the praise, Lord, for it's you alone that we're here. In Jesus' name, amen. I've titled this message, God is good. God is good. And you would say?
Amen.
Yeah, all the time. And all the time?
God is
good. Yeah. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. How good is this word, guys? Have you ever thought about how good life could be? Just really, how good could life could be? Think about it. No sin? How good would that be? No sin. No sickness. And all of us would say amen to that. No sickness. Nothing. Joy unspeakable and full of glory everywhere you go. Marvelous. How about this, guys? Can you identify? No lack of energy. A few of us mature folks would say amen to that. Yeah. Yeah. No lack of energy. No bad taste. They'd all taste like strawberries dipped in chocolate. I'm telling you, you like a bunch of wolves. You wipe those two trays out back there. It's just wonderful. We want all the ladies to pick up a rose on their way out today. How about nothing ever being off key in any music or any worship? Amen. All right. Who knows? We're all human, right? And we make mistakes. I sure would like there'd never be anything off key in my singing. I figured out why nobody stands around me, you know. It's okay. It's all right. I'm going to worship. I'm going to worship. I'm going to worship. He's worthy. How about no bad thoughts? Either in us or those who know us and think things they shouldn't think about us. No bad thoughts. No pain. Wow. Frank's eyes got this big. He can't imagine that right now. No evil. No lack of finances. You never have to worry about provision or anything all your life. It's just there. Going to add one more. No mold for Chris and Stephanie. If there was mold, you could play in it. It wouldn't hurt you. We laugh about it, but it's a serious thing. Yeah. And you know what I think? This list falls short. If we'd all put our minds together, we'd come up with a whole bunch more of items that could make life really, really good. Yet God says this. He says there are things which he has prepared for us which hasn't even entered our thoughts. Isn't that what he said? nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them. It's not even entered into our thinking. We can't imagine it because it's never been in our thoughts, never been there in this world, but it's good. There are mysteries of God waiting for us. I believe we lost some things in the garden, guys. There are some things, I believe, that were present in the garden that God had to take off the face of the earth because they wouldn't be good for us now, but they'll be good for us later. So we lost some things, but he told us about it. He said there are some things that hasn't even entered into our mind, even thought about, but they're there waiting on us. Mysteries of God. I just really can't wait sometimes to get there. Yet, even with saying this, there are some people that would say to us that God's not completely good. There are some. And why would they say that? What would be their evidence for saying that? Their experiences. We've all had experiences that aren't good. Really bad experiences. Really tough things. Things we have seen. Things we've experienced. But I would tell you this, God does not define his goodness based on anyone's experiences. God does not define his goodness based on anyone's experiences. The goodness of God. This goodness of God is the very essence of who he is and what he's like. We have to come to understand that God is good and good only. And when we do that, it's to draw closer to him, because then you know that. We always say this, what? God is love. Isn't that what we say? But love is what? Good. So God is love. Yes, God is good. We can't separate the two. They're woven together, love and God. There is no sin in him, none, none. There is no bad side to God. He is good in all he does. Moses had an encounter with the goodness of God I would like to talk about this morning. It's in Exodus, the 33rd chapter. And I'm going to start in verse 11. I'm just going to jump right in the middle of it. So, you know, if you feel like I'm a little disjointed, it's okay. It's where I'm supposed to start. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to his camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Moses has just interceded for the Israelites. They've just finished with the sin of the golden calf. You remember that. And he even asked God, he said, you know, if necessary, and this one just boggles my mind that Moses said this. He said, if you need to blot my name out of the book of life so that they may be forgiven. Talk about a man who stood in the gap. I'll be eternally separated from you, God, if you will forgive their sin and what your people have done. So God relents, but he has to send a plague, doesn't he? Justice must be done. God is good. Justice must be done. Moses moves the tabernacle from the midst of the congregation because God has told him that if he ends up staying in there and calls it the tabernacle now, he will end up destroying them all. Because why? They're a stiff-necked bunch. Anybody here stiff-necked? On occasion? Not all the time, right? Exodus 33, verses 16 through 18. Here it is, guys. Here it is. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? Except you go with us. How will anybody know there's any difference between you and the world except you go with us? Because God's already told them, I can't go with them. They're stiff-necked people. I'll kill them. You know, they're going to sin. And I can't stand in sin because I'm pure. You know, there's no sin in me. So the only difference between the Israelites and the people around them is God's presence. It's the only difference between us and them, if you will, is His presence. If He goes with us, that's the difference. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I. They're talking about the tabernacle. He's talking about the people of Israel and Him will be separate from the world, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And then he said this, and he said, please show me your glory. How bold, how brave to stand before the God who causes all things to be and ask him to show you, me, his glory. Obviously, Moses was in God's glory, the tabernacle, but who knows, there's always another level. Exodus 33:9, it says, and it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. We know for sure that when we gather here to worship, His presence is here. We know that. 33:10 says, here's one level. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and did what? Worshipped. Each man at his tent door. The Israelites watched this cloud descend on the tabernacle when Moses went in. Jesus said this, Matthew, the 18th chapter, the 20th verse. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. But I also say there's another level of manifestation. There's always another level. Who's hungry for that other level? Who wants the glory of God to descend and fill each one of us to overflowing with His glory? His glory. I'm hungry for it. I'm hungry for it. I believe this event shows a door we must all pass through for the next level, His glory. It's His glory we're after. A deeper manifestation. He said, please show me your glory. He knew there was more. And God responds to Moses' request, and he says this, Genesis, the 33rd chapter, verses 19 through 23. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me. Right here is a place, right here. And you shall stand on the rock, and so it shall be while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. I will make what? All my goodness. All my goodness, my glory, my goodness pass before you. My goodness and His glory, God would tell you. His goodness and His glory are not separable. His goodness is glory, and His glory is good. When we look at the beginning of everything, of what God made. When he created heavens and the earth, when he created it all, what did he say when he got done? And God saw that it was good. It's all good. There's nothing but good in God. God is good. Anything less than good has come from man, from the evil one, and his decision to not obey. And then also in verse 19, God said this, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. God does not define his goodness based on anyone's experiences or their expectations. There it is. Yet how many people today believe God, do not believe God is good? And they base that upon their misunderstanding, their experience that the evil one has caused them to experience, has come to pass in their life, the evil that's on the earth. You see, he isn't who we think he is, God. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, Isaiah says, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts and your... It's not even close. His thoughts and his ways. You see, we get so full of hubris, get so full of ourselves, we think we're just like him. And we say, well, God's not good, because I'm not. I've got some things in me. I can see that. But he's not like us. It sends me to one of my most favorite verses in Scripture, 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 14. And it says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Lots of people would tell us, it's foolish to waste your time to come here and worship. It's foolish to put your nose in that old book called the Bible and read it all the time. What good is it doing you? Because they don't understand. God loves them, but they don't understand. The things of God just aren't naturally discerned with our natural mind. So it is with his goodness, guys. It's above our ability to understand how good God is. We just can't understand it. When God said to Moses he'd let his goodness pass in front of him, the word he used in the Hebrew was tub. T-U-W-B. Tub. And it means this, one of the meanings, is good in the wildest sense. How can good be wild? Right? Isn't that beyond anything you ever thought about good? Good in the wildest sense? It's just how ridiculously good God is. He's good in the wildest sense. It's so good we have to think of it that way, in the wildest sense of our understanding. Morally so good, beyond our understanding. Concretely, the very best good. So good that joy and gladness are its companions, and well with it. Our definition of goodness, when you look it up, it says the state or quality of being good. Yeah, we all understand that, state or quality of being good. Yep, yep. We do say things like, well, goodness knows, so we understand that God knows and he is goodness. But it falls so short of God's goodness and the understanding of what it is. I believe when we read this in Scripture and we talk about God being good, we're handicapped because we just have trouble understanding. We have to ask the Holy Spirit for understanding of how good God's goodness is. It's a good in the wildest sense. Isaiah says this, Isaiah the 55th chapter, verses 10 through 13. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word, his good word, be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The mountains are going to sing, and the trees are going to clap their hands. Guys, I believe that's literal. Can't imagine that. The goodness of God in the kingdom of heaven, the mountains are going to sing, and the trees are going to clap their hands at our presence. His word is good and only produces good. Just as God has reserved the right to only be revealed later, that which has never entered our heart of any man, just so are his thoughts and ways. Man has a hard time receiving that God is that much wiser, that much more intelligent, and that good. Because it just is so far above our experience, so much better than himself. And I believe this, God's goodness is our path to the miraculous. I believe until we believe God is always good and always doing good, it's hard to get our hearts set that the word he sends forth will accomplish what he sent it to. We have to get that scripture on the inside and believe it's for us and that it's good. We have to believe it's for us. It's not for just the person who's living that really good life. It's just not. It's for everyone. You see, evil tries to masquerade as good. If he can show evil as good, he can confuse us in how we see God and how God is. He tries to convince us how good evil is. Proverbs, the 26th chapter, verses 23 through 25. And I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation because it's better for me. 23. Smooth words may hide a wicked heart, just as pretty glaze covers a clay pot. People may cover their hatred with pleasant words, but they are deceiving you. They pretend to be kind, but don't believe them. Their hearts are full of many evils. There are evil people in this world. And the devil wants to convince us that God is just like us. Just like us. And that there is a dark side or an evil side to God. That God would have an agenda, like most people have agendas, something they want. Goodness is an inside quality. It's inside. John, the 15th chapter, verses 7 and 8, Jesus is speaking of prayer here, and he says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is what? Glorified. God's goodness is what? Glory. And glory is good. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. What is the fruit? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, and goodness on the inside, meekness and temperance. This is the fruit of what he is on the inside. This is who God is, what he is. He is the embodiment of it, if you will. And God wants us to be like him. John, the 10th chapter, go to the Gospel of John, verse 11. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Good shepherd doesn't say, oh, well, I tried. He stays with those who are in trouble. He always has his best good intended for his sheep. So, guys, if we fall off the wagon, he's not angry. If we fail in something, he's not upset. He's not worried. He's not concerned. He's going to come do good to you. So if you're expecting punishment for something you failed at, if you get it, you're not getting it from him. His heart is good. He wants to do us good. Recognize who sends evil. Recognize who sends that stuff. Yeah. We're his sheep. Matthew, the 9th chapter, verses 11 through 13. I'm going back to the New Living Translation again. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with such scum? When Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy and not offer sacrifices. For I have called not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Who needs Dr. Jesus? Boy, there is none good but one. There is none good but one, the Father. And he's not just good, guys. That is the state of being good. He's wildly good. He's the wild, this sense of our understanding of how goodness can be, how good is. What's your understanding of good? Does it include the thought of wildly good? I hope it does now. We say this. God has reckless love. We sing that, don't we? Now we need to include he's wildly good. He's full of reckless love and he's wildly good. It's why he said this, guys. I go to prepare a place for you. He said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. You know why he's doing it? Just so you can be where he is. So you can be where he is. That's why he's doing it. He wants you there where he is forever. I go to prepare a place for you, Stephanie, he said. And he's doing it just because he loves you that much. And he wants you where he is, right there with him in heaven. And just forever. How good is that? How good? Every one of us can say that. God is preparing a place for me because he loves me and he wants me where he is. No ulterior motives. He just wants to be around us. He just wants to be. Is that amazing? It's amazing to me. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you that you can be with me. King David said this, Psalm the 27th chapter, 13th verse. He said, I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. His goodness is not just for the by and by. He said he would have lost heart if he wasn't convinced that he would see God's goodness on his life right here where he is now. That's for us, guys. Literally good in the wildest sense. Can we believe this? Not just for heaven, but in the land of the living? Amazing. He also said this in Psalm 31, verse 19, New Living Translation. He said, how great is the goodness you have stored up for those who fear you. You lavish it on those who come to you for protection, blessing them before a watching world. He is storing goodness up for those of us who come to him for protection. So he can lavish it on us in front of a watching world. And why would God want to do that? Because it is the goodness of God that leads man to repentance. He wants to show his goodness on your life so that he can show the watching world how much he loves you. You see, if we who are being saved don't show openly the goodness of God, we fail short in that. Listen to what Paul said in Romans about that. Romans, the second chapter, verse 4, he says, "Or do you despise the riches of his goodness?" Wow. Forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Wow. Do you despise his goodness? Just amazing things. Who would say God is good this morning? Who would say God is good all the time? And all the time? Good. Will you pray with me? Father, the first thing, I come to you and just praise you for your goodness. How you enter our heart and you just shed all this love and goodness abroad in it. We just walk in it, the total love of God. And I would ask, Lord, that we could just release from our heart and mind any thought that you are not good. Any example that the enemy has put up in front of us and would tell us he's not good. Tell us you're not good. Father, we just release that from our heart in Jesus' name. We say thank you, Father. We ask, Lord, that this goodness that you are would manifest through us as a fruit of the Spirit. That everywhere we go, we would share the goodness of God with those about us. We desire to see them come into the kingdom too, Father. That all the souls would come in. That there'd be a mighty harvest, a mighty, what we call revival in this land. A changing, Lord God. A moving of your Spirit to change where we live. Come and heal our land, I pray, Father. Come and heal our land. Show forth your goodness, we pray in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for each soul here this morning. That as they would go under you, under your anointing, and a manifestation of your glory. I give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor for it in Jesus' name. It's a good day. God is good. Amen.